is Building Bridges with Ken Nash and Mimi Rosenberg.
Confirming Kavanaugh would tip the scales of justice against working people.
Liar, liar, pants on fire.
Seize worm, see you perspire. Not a word you say is true. There's never been one out of you. Smoke and mirrors, bathing switch. You and your friends are getting rich. Picking pockets, pulling strings, and other more despicable things. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Preaching only to the choir. Photo op in front of the steeple. How did you manage to fool these people? You talk the lingo, dress the part, even put your hand over your heart. Bomber jacket, emperor's clothes. You can't even reach the end of your nose.
Liar, liar, pants on fire. We're going to have a lot of cause to continue to use that song over the months to come. The AFL-CIO's president, Richard Trumka, described Trump's nominee, Brett Kavanaugh. For Brett Kavanaugh, his second pick to the Supreme Court, as having a dangerous track record protecting the privileges of the wealthy and powerful at the expense of working people.
The Service Employees International Union, one of the country's largest, just tweeted that confirming Kavanaugh would tip the scales of justice against working people. To ready us for the battle at hand, Sharon Block, executive director of Harvard's Labor and Work-Life Program, makes the case that Kavanaugh's record reflects a sustained and at times aggressive hostility to the role of law in protecting the vulnerable and the less powerful.
Sharon Block, prepare us to repel the second of Trump's nominee to the Supreme Court. After all, know thine enemy.
You know, I think if you look at Judge Kavanaugh's record, and he does have an extensive record. He's been on the D.C. Circuit, which is considered, you know, the second highest court in the land for 12 years. And, you know, I think it is fair to say if you look at his record, he has a strong propensity to rule on the side of corporations against the interests of workers and to do it in a way that really pushes the envelope of the cases that come before him. And you know, to be honest, that's what makes me the most concerned about the prospect of him being confirmed.
Well, why don't we start with some of the cases that you think are most important that Kavanaugh has ruled on, so we know who this guy is. I mean, there was one case that dealt with immigrant workers. I think it was the agri-processors case, but it puts in question his feelings about the immigrant workforce to be given labor protections.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are a number of reasons to be really concerned about the position that he took in agri-processors. So first, there's just the merits of the case itself, whether people who are workers who are undocumented should be protected by our nation's labor standards and other statutes that are designed to make the workplace fair, to make it safe. And so I think just on the merits of that, I find it very troubling that he was that he wanted to write all of these people out of those really important fundamental protections, both for, you know, in the case of the National Labor Relations Act, which was what was at issue, it also has, you know, to write a whole category of people out of the protections of the act. It's obviously devastating for them. It's also terrible for the people that they work with, the, you know, documented workers that they work with. So it's just that in and of itself I found to be a very troubling decision. But I think even more troubling is the fact that for the most people believe that the Supreme Court has decided this issue twice, actually. And yet Judge Kavanaugh still came, you know, wrote this dissent saying, no, 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 that's not true. So I think it's troubling in assessing his record on how he feels about protecting the rights of workers, especially vulnerable workers like undocumented workers. But I think it's also troubling for those of us who care about a number of issues where Kavanaugh is perceived as the swing vote, about how he thinks about precedent. And so the fact that he was willing to take this position that was really out of step with the way that most people read Supreme Court precedent is really troubling. So, I think for people who care about the continuing viability of Roe versus Wade, the fact that he says, has made supposedly some statements in meetings with senators, that it's settled law, that seems to mean something a little bit different for him, at least if you look at the position he took in the agriprocessor case.
We can, and we should, go through a number of his major decisions, SeaWorld and so on, but what I also want to get to is where the Trump administration and its cronies are at now, and where the corporatocracy is, that there is really an ideological sway to put property rights before democratic rights, and whatever rights stem from property rights, not the other way around. And so I want to get a handle politically on what you think the aggregate of the decisions of Brett Kavanaugh are relevant to the considerations for working people, for democratic rights, versus the prevalence of the almighty dollar of property rights as the core, as the raison d'etre of this society, ideologically.
Right. Now, I think if you use his decisions in cases about working people, about labor, as a lens to look at how he sees sort of the power structures in our country, I think it paints a pretty clear picture that he is very sympathetic to the concerns of corporate America and has a basic misunderstanding of what it's like to be a working person in this economy. And so you get this consistent misreading of how are the laws that are supposed to protect workers work, and then siding with those corporate interests. And you brought up briefly the SeaWorld case, and I think the SeaWorld case is an excellent example of how he sees the world through with this sympathy for the corporate interest and a misunderstanding of how the power structure works in terms of how workers come into those relationships. He essentially says, well, why isn't it, he refers to the Occupational Safety and Health Act and the way that OSHA had interpreted in that case as paternalistic. Like, why should the law protect workers? Why can't they just make their own decisions? And why can't they just, operate in the economy without the law sort of butting in? To me, that just reflects a really fundamental misunderstanding of what most work relationships between employers and employees are like. Workers today don't have the power to stand up and say, I'm not going to work here unless you assure me that this is a safe workplace. That's why we pass statutes like the Occupational Safety and Health Act that put the government on the side of holding companies, corporations accountable for providing safe workplaces, because workers just don't have the power to do that on their own. And the Occupational Safety and Health Act was passed in the 1970s when union density and a lot more workers actually had a union behind them to try to navigate those relationships. In today's America, where we've got so many fewer people represented by unions, workers are even less able to negotiate on their own behalf for basic protections. So, I think that's a theme that you see throughout Kavanaugh's decisions is just this misunderstanding of sort of how power is allocated within our economy and our society.
And we just want to mention that the SeaWorld Florida case versus Perez involved the death of a worker who trained, quote-unquote, killer whales who performed for the public at the theme park. And one of the whales dragged the trainer under the water, drowning her. So how do you look at the issue of that kind of case and the reality that we already have a Gorsuch on the Supreme Court, the first nominee of Donald Trump, and we have a John Roberts, also very friendly to property and business. So how important is it? And what else do we know of Kavanaugh at this point, when you are juxtaposing that with the what really seems like it would be a full court press for property rights on the Supreme Court?
No, I'm very glad you asked that. I think especially in relation to labor cases, as to what we could expect from this new court were Kavanaugh to be confirmed, I think we're going to see more court sessions like we had this year, which was a terrible, terrible session for workers between the Epic Systems case, which essentially made mandatory arbitration and class action waivers, they just gave wholesale approval to employers across the country imposing those kinds of limitations on workers, and then, of course, the Janus decision. I think that is going to become the norm, that you will see groups trying to bring more and more cases to undermine the right to collective bargaining, to undermine other ways that the law is supposed to protect collective action to the Supreme Court, because they will be very confident in predicting how those cases will come out. But I'm glad you asked the question, because in talking about this nomination with people, obviously there's a lot of attention on those issues where Justice Kennedy was often viewed as a swing vote. So reproductive rights, gay rights, and those issues are incredibly important, and it is very troubling to think about a Justice Kavanaugh, voting on those kinds of cases in a way that's different and Justice Kennedy did. And I've had people say to me, well, in labor cases, it's really not going to make much of a difference, because, to be honest, Justice Kennedy was not a friend to working people on cases that came before the court. He was a pretty consistent vote with the conservative majority against workers' interests. In those two cases I just mentioned, he voted with the conservative majority. But I do think that I think there is reason to be concerned. I mean, we never know what happens when somebody gets to the Supreme Court, but I think there's good reason to be concerned that a Justice Kavanaugh will actually act somewhat differently than a Justice Kennedy. If you look back at Kennedy's record, he authored very few opinions in worker rights cases. It wasn't an area. He was a consistent vote with the conservative majority, but it wasn't an area where he seemed to feel passionately or want to take a leadership role in shaping the law. I think if you look at Judge Kavanaugh's on the D.C. Circuit, you see him, I think, more frequently writing his own either concurrences or writing more opinions or writing dissents where he really is trying to stake out his own position. And often that position is even more extreme than the position that the party even asked the court to take on their behalf. And so, I point out something I wrote recently, the case American Federation of Government Employees versus Gates,
right,
which was a Bush administration case where the Bush administration came and said, there's sort of complicated facts, but Congress passed a law that said that the Department of Defense could sort of for a while could make some changes in labor management relations with the career, the civil service employees of the Department of Defense. And so there was a dispute arose over whether what the Bush administration wanted to do went beyond what Congress had given them permission to do. And the Bush administration went to the court and said, look, we didn't destroy collective bargaining rights. We changed them, but we're within that zone that Congress said we could do. Kavanaugh writes an opinion that says, actually, it would have been okay if they abolished collective bargaining rights. So it takes a position even more extreme than the parties brought to him. And that's the kind of case that really makes me concerned that, in fact, even though Justice Kennedy was, you know, was not somebody who ruled on the side of workers, you could see Kavanaugh, I think there's reason to be concerned that Kavanaugh will try to shape the law, will take a more active role in trying to shape the law, and that will be in a very, very conservative direction.
Yeah, and especially with regard to the attacks that the Federal Civil Service is having right now, continuing over Trump's attacks on the unions there and their right to collective bargaining. I think that's really
something to... Sure, I mean, it's not hypothetical, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There is actually likely, I mean, we don't know yet in light of the D.C. District Court, Judge Jackson just recently striking down, you know, the key provisions of the executive orders that the Trump administration issued to really gut collective bargaining for federal employees. She struck those down. We don't know yet if the Trump administration is going to try to appeal her decision, and so it is not purely hypothetical that the collective bargaining rights of federal employees could end up before the Supreme Court in not too long. And so for federal employees, this the Kavanaugh nomination should seem like a very urgent and serious matter.
And the other thing that concerned me very much were issues that are part of the rights of working people. And I'm looking at issues around discrimination. And I know there was the Miller case, Miller versus Clinton,
yep,
which Kavanaugh argued to remove a group of employees from the protection of the anti-discrimination statutes. And I want you to talk more about that and, indeed, how issues of sexual harassment and other things are part of the body of work before the Supreme Court, and how issues of religiosity as well will fit into what we believe and understand has been the rule, if you will, of Kavanaugh, and what that means for the various rights of workers as well.
Sure. So in Miller versus Clinton, the State Department, what was at issue was a worker who was employed abroad, outside the United States. And so there are often complicated questions about how our laws apply to people who are working outside the physical limits of the United States. The State Department conceded that they had fired this employee because of his age. There was, in fact, a mandatory retirement age imposed for workers like this particular employee. And they took the position that they could do that was okay, because you obviously within the United States you couldn't do that. We have laws that protect older workers from discrimination. The majority on the D.C. Circuit rejected the State Department's position, but Kavanaugh dissented and said that the State Department was free to impose mandatory retirement age and sort of overlooked and said, well, there's other parts. The Constitution can protect people against discrimination. You know, overlooked how the deficits in pursuing discrimination that way. And, in fact, the Constitution doesn't protect workers from age discrimination. And there are limits on the remedy. So, again, I think it fits this pattern you see in Kavanaugh's cases of not really thinking about the impact of the way that he decides cases on people's real lives, sort of not understanding the real lives of American workers and what's at issue when these cases come to the court. And, you know, why that is, I don't know. You know, I write a lot for a labor law blog that's done here at Harvard Law School called On Labor, and one of our regular writers, Andrew Strom, wrote a really great piece called Brett Kavanaugh, Common Sense and Class Prejudice, projecting that he just doesn't understand the lives of sort of regular American workers, and therefore, get these cases where he sides with the companies, with corporations, because he just can't really understand what those power dynamics are in the American workplace for most people.
Well, as you mentioned that, just kind of dovetailing on what I previously asked, the issue of women, most people are, you know, geared up to think about the issue of women almost exclusively in the reproductive rights area. But the issue of women, the issue of people of color and marginalized groups within the society, and then the whole issue of discrimination, which comes into play in so many labor decisions, etc. How do you think that Mr. Kavanaugh would rule in those instances that imbue to the actual rights of women, whether it's, using, the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace, for example, or other things? What do you think his decisions tell us about those kinds of concerns as workers?
Sure. So I'm not familiar with any cases that would directly sort of reveal how he thinks about sexual harassment. But again, you know, if you think about this pattern of cases involving workers who are the most vulnerable, who are the least powerful, you know, sadly, we know in our country that the majority of low-wage workers are women. They are people of color. And so I think these issues are, you know, the way that he has decided these labor-related cases, even if they don't directly address discrimination, again, give you this picture, this portrait of how he thinks or probably doesn't really think about the need to protect and to forcefully assert those protections in the law for people of color, for women. And so I would be very concerned, even without, a tremendous amount of evidence from his record on the D.C. Circuit about particular cases involving issues like sexual harassment or race discrimination.
So, Sharon Block, what's the takeaway?
The takeaway is that while we should be concerned about Kavanaugh's record on some of these higher profile issues that are getting most of the attention, American workers should be really, really concerned about this nomination also. And so they should make their feelings known. They should look at his record and see the way that he just is not going to be a justice that's going to stand up, I don't think, to protect the rights of American workers, and so they should be very concerned and do what you do in a democracy, which is make your voice heard.
And you wrote a very good article on that Harvard blog, which talks about some of the issues that we talked about, plus a few others. So do you want to tell us what the name of that is so people could log on to that? And it's a wonderful blog.
Sure,
and
I've
discovered it, and it's got all kinds of wonderful
stuff. Oh, I'm so glad you did. It's called onlabor.org. And it was founded by a wonderful colleague I have here, Professor Ben Sachs, and it's really the go-to place for seeing what's up and what's new and what's going on in terms of labor law, labor policy, sort of labor current events.
And if you're not part of the solution, you are part of the problem. Thank you for helping us know thine enemy, and we have a lot of work to do to make sure that Brett Kavanaugh is not confirmed as the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States Supreme Court. And do check out Sharon Block's blogs. They are very insightful, chock full of critical information that we need to know to lay the foundation for our becoming even better agents for social change. Thanks for joining us, Sharon Block.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. Take care.
Yeah, you know, when we're chugging down Jericho walls, we don't need no trouble, you know? Yeah.
Problem, and I think we're clear he's part of the problem. This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.